This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Sell. Pretty simple ones today. Davis Webb, buy or sell. He'll be the next offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos.
I've already bought it.
I think the evidence is there. The evidence is there. Buy or sell. He'll be calling plays next year.
Sell.
Yeah, I'm selling it too. I don't see it. I don't see Sean giving that up.
Can I buy my wish?
No, it's buy or sell.
Buying my wish.
Not wishful thinking.
I'm buying my wish that he...
Buy or sell, Vance Joseph will be the next head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Sell.
So, buy or sell, he'll remain the Broncos defensive coordinator.
I will buy that he stays with the Broncos.
That is wild to me. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I figured for sure with all of those jobs... Vance would have somebody that would give him a head coaching gig again.
I thought he'd be first guy off the board.
I thought he would be too. This was a really good defense. That's fascinating for me. All right, there it is. Buy or sell. Davis Webb might be the OC. Vance Joseph might be the DC again. And away we go. Now just kill it in free agency and the draft. Hopefully it's an offensive one. Re-sign John Franklin Myers and Jaquan McMillan, and away we go.
You got to get one linebacker.
Well, that'll probably be a later round draft pick. Are you suggesting they go in free agency?
Well, what's the draft look like? Are we looking at a rich linebacker draft?
I haven't got into it yet. I'll get into it. Let me dig in a little bit. I'll spend some time doing that this weekend. Michael, it's Joker Day. I can't dig into draft. It's Joker Day. January 30th will be forever remembered as Joker Day. Joker returns. Not Batman returns. Joker returns.
Oh, okay. Is that a new DC cartoon?
Yeah, probably. Did you hear this news, Mike? Catherine O'Hara died.
Yeah, you told me. That is sad.
She was the mom... In Home Alone, she was in Beetlejuice. She was in a TV show that I can't even say on the air. SCHITT. I can't say it even if it's spelled like that, right?
Yeah, you can. I just qualify it with spelled differently.
Spelled differently. You know, Creek. Creek.
I've heard many good things about that.
It's okay. It was okay. But more importantly, a bummer, man, because Catherine O'Hara...
Very funny.
Very funny, but her as the mom in Home Alone kind of rounded that movie out, didn't it? I mean, everyone wants to talk about Macaulay Culkin. He was tremendous as a child actor, and it was all about him. He was the main character, but with her in Home Alone, you really felt that desperation to get home to him. Like, all kidding aside, like, she was tremendous in that movie.
Yeah, that was a good B-plot.
That was, her side plot of that movie was to get home to him. John Candy was in it for a second, and that was great.
John Candy's good in everything.
Everything he
was
in.
I miss the guy.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. She was great in the Creek TV show. I didn't finish the show. It had its moments that I really enjoyed. It just didn't. It didn't go enough for me. Didn't move
Did it
enough.
Jump the shark?
No, it was just fine. I just didn't. I just found myself after like a season or two, maybe three I tried, I just didn't care about the characters that much. But it was fine. I don't think I'll ever pick it back up, but it was fine. She was great in Beetlejuice, too.
Love Beetlejuice. Not the second Beetle, one. I didn't second see, one trash.
Well,
dude, first one's great.
Those movies that are like epic, legendary movies that change the game, you can't make them again. Especially 30-plus years later. Or 50, yeah. 40 or whatever it was.
That was, I don't want to say it's some of Danny Elfman's finest work. The original score.
Okay.
But really, really was. He's talent.
I remember watching Beetlejuice again with my dad in 2020. Because all the no one was making movies. Remember that? You weren't making movies. So what the movie theaters were doing is they were just re-releasing a bunch of classics. And it was in October. So they were putting out like Halloween spooky stuff. And I took my dad to that. We were literally the only people in the theater. Yeah, it was cool. It was kind of cool. But just watching that so many years later, it still holds up. Still a good movie. And she was good in it. I'm trying to think what else she was in. She's been a voice actor a lot, too. Oh, yeah. She was the voice of the love interest in A Nightmare Before Christmas. And I didn't know that for a long time.
Was she really?
Yeah, she is. I didn't know that for a long time until one night. Because my own little tradition. My wife doesn't like that movie. But I watch that at the start of every October. I love that movie. And I only watch it in October because it's a Halloween movie.
And the music was done by Danny Elfman as well.
It's fine. That's fine. But I Googled the cast one day and I saw that she was the voice of the love interest of Jack Skellington's character.
I've not seen that movie in a long time, but it
still holds
up. It's a great movie.
Can you believe
that is both Halloween and Christmas?
That is a Halloween movie.
Both.
I don't watch it during Christmas. Faith says I got to finish that show, Creek. The comedic timing was gold. Well, it was. I didn't have like bad things to say about it. It just didn't. It didn't keep me going. There was funny stuff. The
Eugene
cast was pretty
Levy's
good.
Eugene Levy's great in everything.
He's great in it.
Have you ever seen the old CTV shows that he was on?
No.
If you ever get a chance to watch it, and I don't know if it's on, there are some Canadians have some great humor.
She said her early stuff is great. She had an SNL-type show with Eugene Levy. Oh, I've never...
That might have been CTV.
Smitty says... Best in Show was genius, and she was so funny. I didn't see that either, but I heard that was a really good flick. That was in 2000. That came out 26 years ago? Wow.
I've been calling it CTV. It's SCTV, and she was on that with Eugene Levy and John Candy.
Okay. What else was she in? Just one of those. I can't stress enough how important her role in Home Alone and Home Alone 2. Home Alone 2 was pretty good. The rest of them, not so much. But yeah, Catherine O'Hara passed away. That's a bummer. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, Michael, I was stressed out of my mind last night. Well, you know, stressed as watching sports can make me. I'm watching the UNC Bears game on ESPN Plus, which don't get me, I hate having to go out of the app and whatever. I'm happy to have it. It's halftime. So I jump over to the Nuggets game. So I have to get out of the app, open up DirecTV, takes 5 million years. I go to altitude, click it, blacked out. Like, oh, it's going to be on channel 9. Got to get back in. You know, the smart TVs now, we don't have the right remote for it, so it doesn't have numbers on it. So it's a whole process. So I go to guide, and I have a little saver thing there of sports that I'm interested in. And so I click it. It only shows the Nuggets, Brooklyn, Nuggets-Nets game on altitude. So I know that's blacked out, so it's got to be on one of the locals. So I just go to channel 9. It says Law and Order. but sometimes they don't change it. So I click it, and it's Law and Order. So I can't find the Nuggets game. Forgot that it's also on Channel 20 sometimes. But that was also Law and Order. So my guide won't catch that, right? So when you're searching for the Nuggets game, it's going to search what the title tells it to search, what the title is. So I just assumed, wow, something's wrong with my packages here, my DirecTV. Are they going through this again? And then I put it out on X and quickly got a follower to say, you know, it's on Channel 20. But that's just, why did they did the Channel 9, Channel 20 thing for, I believe, Comcast is still in a holding pattern, and they don't have Altitude. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct.
So you can't watch, because we can't watch Avs and Nuggets games here. So that was part of the reasoning to put it on Channel 9 and Channel 20. You get a handful of games there. But why does it have to black out on Altitude? I don't get it. It's fine if you figure out how to find it. It's just another inconvenient way for me to watch games. So I was frustrated going through that. And got through it, though. Got through it. Was able to see the finish.
You know what you should do?
Yeah, what?
If you have it available in your neighborhood, you should get Allo Fiber because yeah. You can watch Altitude.
I'm in Fort Collins, and I don't know if they're moving into Fort Collins yet. But I know what Allo Fiber's doing for us here at the station. It's awesome. We love Allo Fiber. I wish they would. Maybe they will.
Thank you, Allo Fiber.
Thank you, Allo Fiber. Yes, thank you. Faith says, I tried to find the Nuggets game last night, and I couldn't. Well, from now on, just remember.
Get Allo Fiber.
Channel 9. Yeah, go get Allo Fiber, Faith. Channel 9, Channel 20. Or Altitude. If it's not on any of those, then you're probably in trouble.
You can get it on ESPN Plus, but maybe.
I don't know.
It's been on ESPN Plus, but like it wants me to log into some account that I don't have.
Or Peacock, right? Is it Peacock that the NBA is doing now?
Peacock is NBA is on NBC now.
So if it's on Peacock, does it get blacked out on Altitude and such? I think so. I had to watch one where it was blacked out. And again, I have to go through the trials of, oh, it's not on Channel 9. It's not on Channel 20. Oh, that's right. It's on Peacock. So there's 4 million ways to watch a Nuggets game now or an Avs game. And it bothers my mind.
Same with the NFL. Like, there are 4 million ways, and you have to know in advance, and you don't know in advance at the beginning of the season. Like, you just kind of have to wait. You know when it's on Amazon, but, like, sometimes towards the end of the season, it'll be like, well, maybe you'll have it on Saturday. Maybe it'll be on Sunday.
I don't like it. 970 says, John, Fort Comcast. Comcast has Altitude. Game on Altitude outside of Nuggets territory. So Comcast did cross over. So I don't know why they're doing the whole local Channel 9, Channel 20 thing. They have their own network. But I guess that's an extra package you have to purchase. And for Altitude, it makes sense. Like, hey, give Channel 9, Channel 20 something everyone has. Give them a few samples of these games, and then they're going to want these games, and then they'll go subscribe to Altitude.
And why is it blacked out for me still?
I don't...
Am I doing it wrong?
I don't know. You must be doing it wrong.
You know what? Let's just all get Allo Fiber.
If you're in the area that they service, check it out.
That's my solution.
So Faith sent this for tonight's game. The options to watch the Nuggets-Clippers game. Altitude Sports, FanDuel Sports Network, SoCal, NBA League Pass. So you have three options to watch the game tonight, I guess. FanDuel Sports Network, SoCal. Do you have to be in SoCal to watch that?
I guess. What the hell is that?
I don't know. FanDuel has their own network now?
Is that a gambling thing?
Yeah, FanDuel's a gambling thing. So they have their network. They're taking over the world, Michael. Thank you for the update on the Comcast thing, too. Faith says, I have none of those. Yeah, you're going to be in trouble, Faith. But, like she said last night, we bailed her out because she listened to the Nuggets game on KFK. There are all, as many as we can, Nuggets and Avs, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice.
Well, you know, if you can't listen to the Nuggets game, you can also always listen to Platte Valley. They will be on our airwaves
tonight
around 6:30. Not exactly sure if there are like 27 games ahead of that. We might have to postpone it just a little bit.
Well, we'll be excited for that because the guys do a great job. Is Kyle Johnson going solo on that tonight?
I believe it's just Kyle Johnson solo.
Okay. Well, Kyle does a tremendous job. Kyle and Bruce Dick, and we had a guest color analyst on Tuesday, Jeff Schmidt.
Bezos.
Schmidt. I almost said Schwint. Very similar. But he's an awesome guy. I had him in the studio a couple weeks ago. And he's going to be doing some more and more stuff with us. So he sat here. Schmidt Performance. Basketball training. We talked basketball. You were here. You were on the other side of that thing.
Yes.
You talked to him. You shook his hand.
I remember him.
You shook his hand. You came in and asked nonsensical questions, like you always do to my guests.
The shaking his hand doesn't sound like me. The asking nonsensical questions does sound like
yes,
me.
Yes, that does sound like you.
Did I ask him if he's a Broncos fan?
I'm sure you did. And a little part of me dies every time you ask someone that.
Well, I need to know if they're a good person or not.
It's just stop. It's just too much. It's too much Broncos, okay?
Faith, I'm not necessarily saying that you're not a good person.
Because you evaluate everything based off of who their favorite football team is.
I mean, that's one of the more important criteria.
Yeah. So anyway, frustrated last night, but it was cool to see the Nuggets hang on, beat the Nets. But I was primarily on the UNC game last night. I'm telling you guys, just hang on. Just watch out. This team could get hot. And if they get hot at the right time and do it in the Big Sky tournament, they're going dancing, man. They're going dancing. How big would that be? 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. More on the Denver Broncos situation coming up next. We'll talk about that. What are some of the early needs you see for this team? You're looking at free agency. George Pickens is the one that pops out. Although Keeler did not like that idea from the Denver Post. He talked about maybe being too much of a drama queen. I put up with a lot to avoid being one of the worst teams when it comes to drops. It's a whole show. We'll be right back.
High school basketball is on. Northern Colorado's leader in preps. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, things got a little more complicated. Jordan Schultz, NFL insider, host of the Schultz Report. I've heard of him. He does a really good job covering the NFL. He just tweeted that the Broncos requested permission and have now interviewed Commanders assistant head coach and offensive passing game coordinator Brian Johnson for their open OC position. That's confusing to my brain. So what about Davis Webb?
I guess he's not as genius as we thought.
Not OC? Pulled his name out of the Raiders running. Why?
I mean, I guess it's more about the Raiders than the Broncos.
I don't understand, man.
It's not April 1st.
It's just confusing to my brain here because that seemed like the logical plan was that, hey, Joe Lombardi's out, Davis Webb pulls his name out of the Raiders job, and now that's going to make it really easy for him to just jump right into the offensive coordinator role. I don't know. So Brian Johnson, Commanders assistant head coach and offensive passing game coordinator, has just interviewed with the Broncos about their offensive coordinator position. He was an OC back in 2023. He was the Eagles offensive coordinator in 2023. So does that mean Davis Webb is out? or does he stay on in a, you know, was he the quarterback's coach? Does he move up to like passing game coordinator now? We got coordinators for everything now. It's not just offensive coordinator. Does he stick around in a lesser role than an OC? Or are they just doing their due diligence and interviewing a lot of people to see if that would make the most sense.
I say 50% due diligence and 50% confusing everybody by hiring outside the organization.
Well, you got to bring this up too. There is the Rooney Rule, and Brian Johnson is, of course, a black man.
But I thought that was only
does
head that, coach.
Does it only apply for head coaches, or does it apply for coordinators too?
I shall look that up.
No, I don't know. I mean, he was the OC for the Eagles in 2023. I'm not questioning his qualifications at all. It's just this kind of, to me, came out of left field based on all of the news that we've seen around the Broncos this last week. So, very interesting. Jordan Schultz kind of throws things for a loop today. Yeah, Michael.
I have the Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
It's an NFL policy adopted in 2003 requiring teams to interview at least two external minority candidates, mm-hmm. this includes women and people of color, in person for head coach, GM, and senior football operations jobs.
I don't know
if this is a senior football operations job.
I would say a coordinator qualifies as a senior, no? Or senior operations like management?
I'd say senior operations is management.
Okay. Well, then maybe Davis Webb is not going to be the offensive coordinator for the Broncos. Sean Payton going outside here. Or it could be just, we want to interview guys, and if somebody blows us away, then we'll take it. Smitty says, Rooney Rule is for all coaches, if memory serves. But that's not what you're finding? I don't know. Plus, there are extra compensatory picks granted to teams who have minority coaches poached by other NFL teams. But why did Davis Webb pull his name out of the Raiders job? Is he going to get an OC job somewhere else? Baltimore? Did Baltimore figure out their OC situation yet? That would be interesting. Here's another weird one that just came across the old desk. I thought we were done with this. Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco was named as an AFC quarterback in this year's Pro Bowl. I thought Shador just took the... Did somebody else back out? Because what was it? Josh Allen and now Shador Sanders. There was another one I'm missing. Is Joe Flacco's the Pro Bowler now? Okay. Did Shador pull out of this? It doesn't say in the story. ESPN reported on it. There's nothing in here that says another quarterback pulled out of the roster. So Joe Flacco's back in the Pro Bowl.
I want to see Joe Flacco play fullback.
What are we doing? What are we doing here? Big Hub, that's the question I had. Maybe he thought he had the Broncos job in the bag. Maybe. Dude, that would suck, too, if, like, Peyton's leading Davis Webb to believe that he was going to be the OC, and then they go out and are conducting interviews. Now, I have no knowledge, like, inside knowledge, on if that actually took place. If Sean Payton actually told Davis Webb he was going to clear out Joe Lombardi for him and make him the OC, but you got to back out of the Raiders thing before I do it, or I need to know you're going to do it. I have no knowledge of that. That's just an assumption that I'm making. It just reading the tea leaves here, putting it all together, it seems like that. Because why else are... Unless Sean Payton and Joe Lombardi had a falling out, which, according to Joe Lombardi, he said he was in... the quote, I don't have it in front of me now, but basically, he was in a mood, and you could kind of tell it was going to go that way, and I was the one he set his sights on. But when Lombardi says he was in a mood, that could be he was upset. And they maybe had a chat, and it maybe didn't go well. Yeah, again, this is all assumption, just based on the information we had. Adds another wrinkle to the clunkiness that is the offseason. Now, I'm not sitting here pounding the table for Davis Webb to be the OC. I'm asking the question, like, why is he so sought after? But it just seemed like that was going to be the picture here. That was going to be what was going to happen. But now you got this wrinkle thrown in, according to Jordan Schultz. Brian Johnson completed an interview for their open offensive coordinator position. So that throws me for a loop. And it continues to be a very strange first week of the offseason that started with firing Joe Lombardi, Kerry Colbert, wide receiver coach, Addison Lynch, cornerback coach, and Carmichael going to Buffalo as the OC, who was their passing game coordinator, I believe. And now Davis Webb is in no man's land right now with the story of him pulling his name out of consideration for the Las Vegas Raiders job. So we'll keep our eyes on it. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. 35 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Are we worried about the Colorado Avalanche, Michael? I'm going to bring Tanner Schwint in here in just a moment. Oh, there he is. Look at him go.
He showed up late.
They lose badly last night, and they've now lost 8 of their last 12. I mean, they started with a 31-2-7 historic record, and they've lost 2 straight 4 times this month. Tanner Schwint, how we doing, man? Are we worried?
I don't know if worried. I don't think worried yet. I think the one area that, like, if you're an Avs fan, you have every right in the world to critique the Colorado Avalanche is the power play,
and that was something they were able to get through. They were like terrible, but they were still winning games. So
They were just so much better than everybody else. 5-on-5, they would go there, and the power play has been a consistent issue. Remember, that's what cost them that series against the Dallas Stars in the playoffs last year. Couldn't capitalize on the power play, so much so that they fire their power play coach, and now they're worse this year. Bottom 10 in a power play now. After last night's game, they may be the worst in the league on the power play. And you couple that with they've given up the most shorthanded goals in the entire NHL, and you've got a real problem on your hands. I think this team's ready for a break. The way that this team plays hockey, they're so fast all the time. It's up and down. And then the second line, that big line, normally with Landeskog and Nelson and Nichushkin, they're going to get tired because they're getting beat up the whole time. And so a couple of things stand out to me. Devon Toews, incredibly important to this team defensively. They've given up 7 goals 3 times out of the last 6 games, I want to say. 7 against the Predators, 7 against the Flyers, and then 7 last night against the Canadiens. Devon Toews on the defensive front, they need him back. They're going to make a move for another defenseman, in my opinion. But the other thing is Gabriel Landeskog's importance to this team.
Yeah, they've been bad since he's been out, really.
It terrifies me because you're talking about, what is he? Is he 38 years old, 38-year-old Landeskog? You're relying on him to be the heart of this team. And for the first time in my life, I criticized Nathan MacKinnon last night. The effort just wasn't there. You know, I was listening to the Two-Man Game podcast, and that's what Steve goes, the one thing we can control and I will have no excuse for is how hard you play. And Nathan MacKinnon wasn't playing hard last night. He gave up. He gave up on one of the power plays, on one of the shorthanded goals that Montreal had. Makar went to try and keep the puck in the offensive zone. It goes over his head. MacKinnon was supposed to be sliding back. He's just nowhere to be found. So it's a breakaway goal, shorthanded. And then another one where he doesn't get back. He had the opportunity to, and instead he's just standing there on the offensive zone. And it leads to a 2-on-1 break where Montreal scores again. I'm not worried in terms of like winning a cup, but they need this break because they're going to have 3 weeks off in 4 days for the Olympic break.
Yeah, I mean, they have, what, three games remaining, and then they're off until February 25th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be a long
but
break.
You say that, but then they've got eight guys playing. In the Olympics, you've got Makar, McKinnon, and Taves for Canada. Brock Nelson is playing for the USA.
Yeah, tough one. Tough time to think of that one.
Yeah, right? Well, I'm not used to the Avs having somebody on the USA squad. I'm very excited about this. Landis Gog is eyeing a return to play for Sweden in the Olympics.
How do you feel, like, this is my whole thing.
No one's going to tell him no. That's the only thing. Like, as a fan, yeah, I'm going to be watching all those games with a clinched you-know-what. But because I don't love it. I mean, these guys need a break. You know the usage time of Makar and McKinnon. And Taves has been dealing with an injury. And then Arturi Lekkonen's playing. Martin Natchez is playing for Czechia, which I learned where that country was this morning. And you've got Arturi Lekkonen and Joel Kiviranta playing for Finland as well. So, you've got eight guys that are going to not have a break in this, which always worries me. But they were good after the Four Nations faceoff last year, too, and all those guys were playing. So, number one concern, power play. Number two for me right now is looking ahead. Who's the future when Gabe can't do it anymore? And I was a little 33 years old, not 38. But who's going to be that? Who's going to wear that seat? Because from what I saw last night with McKinnon, it can't be him.
It's always kind of been like, hey, McKinnon's not necessarily the leader or the coach. He's the guy that, like, do as I do, not as I say.
He's Tom Brady, Michael Jordan in that sense, where he's not going to be able to coach guys along. Like, Peyton Manning, I think, was just so smart that he could say, hey, here's what you need to do. McKinnon's just so God-giftedly talented that he just goes out there and does it. But I was disappointed by the effort last night, and Wedgwood was bad.
The Ottawa game, too, I think. Bednar came out after that game and said that we were just flat.
Oh, that was the worst Avs game I've seen.
They had a lot of opportunities in that third period and just couldn't take advantage.
But they had six shots halfway through the game. Yeah. That's inexcusable. That is a hey, we're banged up. We're really close to this break. Let's just phone this one in. And Mackenzie Blackwood tried his best in that Ottawa game to keep him in it. But six shots, eight, and after two periods just ain't going to do it.
Well, so you're kind
concerned.
Of you're looking at, okay, get Gabe back, and then you have the break coming up, and we'll see how they. But all that being said, eight of their last 12 or whatever, they're still 35, 8, and 9.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's just the thing. Four of their eight regulation losses have come in the last 2 weeks. So that's why
Canada trip has been brutal for them.
That's why it feels so bad, is because it was such a hot start. They're still 7 points up on the Minnesota Wild. They're 8 points up on the Dallas Stars. So it's critical that they hold on to that number one seed in the Central Division, because hockey's dumb. And so it'll have the Wild and the Stars play each other in that first round as the wild card teams. And if you get that, you get one of the cup contenders knocked out, because I think those three are the best three teams in hockey right now: the Wild, the Stars, and the Avalanche.
Well, we'll see then, Tanner. I appreciate you coming in to talk to us a little bit about the Colorado Avalanche.
That was the most serious conversation I've had on this program on a Friday, this late
well,
in the day for
business.
Me. It's serious. Jokic is that, like, you're not pulling my chain, right?
He's back.
Golly.
Yeah, man. Voldemort, he's back.
You told me on this morning on Wine at 9, we weren't even drinking. It was just in a beer, but you told me it was going to be Sunday, so.
Not calling you a liar.
But
I was close.
You lied to me.
I was very close, though.
You were right about the Bears, though.
I was right about the Bears.
Hey, Tanner?
Picture on Friday, everybody knows that. What?
Can you talk about the Eagles?
What the?
Our texters would like to know about the Eagles.
Oh, no. Well, did he say, Chris, start your show with an Australian Open Texas?
He did. He asked
good.
What I knew about it.
Okay, good. I didn't know what was going on, and we did like a back page news of Sports Edition, and I saw that the Australian Open, and he goes, nice. I'm going to open the whole show with an Australian
Open.
That's
what he did. He said, could you speak on it?
Djokovic.
Know that you. Yeah, I saw. I Googled, what is that? And then that's what happened.
What is
Djokovic?
That's
like a really popular player, but.
I can watch just about any sport. Can't watch tennis.
Yeah, I'm not a big. I'd like to play it, but I'm not a big tennis watcher.
No, I'd like if they just made a smaller version of it where I don't have to run as much. Oh, they do ping pong.
Ping pong, yeah,
big ping pong guy.
I can watch tennis if my niece and nephew were playing.
Okay,
which I have.
Dynamite drop in.
My neck hurts from
not,
the knee break.
It's not a bad sport.
You don't watch.
It's okay to watch.
We just had this conversation. You don't watch
also,
anything other than the Broncos. We all know that.
May I borrow? Do we have a minute?
A minute.
Okay. It was so rich of you to say, and I'm speaking of this as just a truthful thing, and then you straight face say Mark Davis. No, you almost said Al. Is the worst owner in the NFL.
Yes,
that's just not anywhere close when you've got the Cleveland Browns and the contract they gave to Deshaun Watson, and then drafting two quarterbacks in the same draft. And then I would even argue that Cincinnati's owner might be worse than Mark Davis with what they do.
Like now, Cincinnati's owner is cash poor.
Get rid of your bias by showing your bias. I just wanted to point that out.
No, I'm saying I think he is the worst at decision making because he keeps firing coaches.
He didn't give Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed.
I would not. I think it's close, but I think Mark Davis is.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm still going to say Mark Davis is the worst by far. Mm.
I think
that out of your system?
I'm trying to think.
I've been sitting on that since he said that earlier on your show. I was yelling in my pickup.
What did we learn today? Michael's going to watch tennis if his family members play in it. That's the sports content.
Can I sit in for this one?
Yes.
Let's go, baby.
That's the sports content. You literally can't get anywhere else.
You can't. No. I've tried.
I don't know if you want it either. We'll be right back.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on this 30th day of January?
What did you learn, Tanner? Joker's back, baby!
Joker's back. Probably never going to lose again.
Never!
Probably never going
to
lose.
Never once!
And the Bears are the best 2-7 team you've ever seen in the conference.
I'll go with you on that. But Joker's back, baby.
Joker's back.
Win by a
zillion
tonight.
I have no idea who's going to be the OC for the Broncos, because now I don't think it's going to be Davis Webb, because they're doing interviews.
In Sean we trust.
It's a weird world. Michael, what'd you learn, buddy?
What you guys were doing during the break was really weird.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You know what? We work at the weirdest place.
That's coming from Michael.
I'm glad there's no HR director here.
That's the way to end the week, yeah. Right there.
Joker's
That'll
back!
Do it for us. Joker's back. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.